The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning. It is 5 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 7th of April, and you're welcome to the first of this week, albeit Tuesday, at the first episode of The Greg Hughes Show for the week. How are you all keeping? I do hope you're very well indeed. I hope you had a lovely weekend. Many of you probably had a busy weekend working. A lot of people seem to be around the place, from what I could see anyway. So hopefully our tourism industry did well over that weekend. Right, lots going on in the programme today. Obviously, we're going to be talking about the fuel protests that are taking place across the country, not directly affecting Donegal. The protests in that those participating left Letterkenny, heading southwards early this morning. We've got Community Garda information coming up for you and so much more besides. I want to remind you how you get in touch with the programme, and this means that you can raise any issues that came across over the weekend, or if you want to pass on any good news as well, 086 60 25 000. That's the WhatsApp and the text number, 086 60 25 000. You can give us a call on 07491 25 000, or email comments at highlandradio.com. And don't forget, if you're listening to the podcast or the overnight repeat, those numbers are good. We'll pick up your contacts, except the phone number, and carry them through to the next live show. Just to remind you, the show's podcast every day, available on our website from about 11:30, and also on Spotify and Apple Podcasts as well. Let's see what's making the newspapers. And I think you can imagine, obviously, listen, you can't get away from this global story. It's the reason why there are protests today in this country, and that is the ongoing conflict in the Middle East, Gulf War II, I suppose you could call it. The Middle East is again on the brink after Iran yesterday rejected a ceasefire plan aimed at preventing a dangerous escalation threatened by US President Donald Trump to force Tehran to open the Strait of Hormuz. Now, this is not about balance or fairness or left or right or Republican or Democrat. Donald Trump and his administration are threatening war crimes against Iran at this point, and making no bones about it, it seems fine. He was asked about it yesterday. It is what it is. So you start going at a country's energy infrastructure, you start going at bridges, you're not attacking a regime, you're not attacking a leadership, you're not attacking a government, you're attacking the 92 million people that live in that country. And that's exactly what he's threatening to do. The deadline tonight, I believe, is 1 a.m. our time. So if Tehran, which they're not, doesn't concede, well, then this is what the administration of the United States is threatening to do, which are, by any measure, war crimes. Well, in response to the threats, Iran presented a 10-point plan, which included an end to the war, the establishment of a mechanism to ensure safe passage through the Strait of Hormuz, reconstruction in Iran, and the lifting of international sanctions. Trump claimed Iran's response to the ceasefire proposal was significant but not good enough. The war can end very quickly if they do the things they need to do, he said, adding that if he had his choice, he would take the oil for Iran. So he's saying effectively he wants to stick it out and take the oil, but he wants to bring it to a conclusion because he believes that's what the American people want. But it's a very important 24 hours. You'll wake up tomorrow morning, we'll know one of two things if the decision isn't made between now and then, whether or not we are faced with a very significant global disruption. Because if he goes in there and if he bombs the power plants with his mates Israel, and if he bombs the bridges, well, then Tehran will unleash hell on the rest of the Middle East. They'll go after oil generation, petrol generation, and all of that type of stuff. And that entire region will be just an absolute disaster, if it isn't already, and we will feel the ramifications, make no mistake about that. So they call him Taco, don't they? Trump always chickens out. It looks like Iran isn't going to. So however he can spin this to get out of it, we'll see. We'll see very soon. Over the next 12 hours, they will be critical in relation to that, because as I say, we will all pay a very heavy price if that war escalates as it's threatening to do so. You might remember on this programme there was quite a bit of discourse about a survey that was going about it, what you want for the future of schools in this country, and we had people encouraging you to take part in it. There were different views at that time, some saying that this was really the government's way of trying to get rid of religion out of schools or whatever it might be. You remember that conversation? Well, the report has been issued off the back of that survey that went out, and apparently there was a big uptake, not surprisingly, because it's quite an important issue. And there's a couple of key findings that came from it, and I'll read it from the Irish Daily Mail. Almost three quarters of parents, 75% of you, whose children are in single-sex primary schools, say they would prefer a co-educational school. In addition, and this is the bit that caused an awful lot of consternation, 60% of parents, the majority of parents in denominational schools, have said they want to continue that religious ethos. So 6 out of 10 who responded to this survey want to keep their religion school in their school. The findings come from a first look at responses from 200,000 households to the state's National Primary School Survey. Minister for Education and Youth Hildegard Nocton welcomed the exceptionally high level of engagement in the survey from parents. She also noted the strong participation from school staff and boards of management. She said the significant response marked an important step in ensuring that parents and school communities were central to shaping the future direction of primary education. The findings included a request for a move to co-education from 73% of parents in our country's 276 single-sex primary schools. Now, I'm going to put my hands up here and show ignorance. I really wasn't, or I'd never really thought about single-sex primary schools. Secondary schools, yes, and I could name one or two, but I didn't realise there were 276 single-sex primary schools. I don't know if you've got any experience of your children going through them, whether you think they're good or they're bad, or not good or bad. It's more, you know, one's better than the other, right? Because we don't want to put anything down. There's no need at this point. But I thought, interestingly, reading on, in addition, approximately 87% of parents in English medium schools supported maintaining English as the primary language of instruction. Ms. Nocton said school communities have spoken and their message is clear that parents want a central role in shaping the future of their children's education. So let's just use Catholicism as an example. So you could read in this survey that 40% of parents don't want it in their schools, but it's not really like that because it's not per school. It's right across all of schools. So you could have the majority or more or less, you know, 80, 90% of parents want Catholicism remaining in school. And then in other schools in a different part of the country, it could be 80 or 90 that don't want it. Do you get me? So we're spreading. It's not 40% per school, it's 40% across the entire school population. So I think that's a strong endorsement for retaining from parents for retaining religious ethos in schools that have one. In the Irish Independent, from match tickets to booking a train seat, though for us it's mostly buses, older people feel they are being increasingly left behind and digitally excluded. A leading geriatrician has said, I beg your pardon. Now, before I read on here, I love how sometimes these studies and conversations catch up. It's 2 years, probably 2 or 3 years since we've been speaking on this program about having, you know, an older person, for an example, having to get a nephew or a daughter to book a ticket for a bus or to book a ticket for a football match. We've had people on this show screaming the fact that they couldn't book their own ticket or it wasn't easy to book a ticket to go and watch Donegal play. That's years ago. It must be 3 years ago. But now, apparently, there is a report backing that up. But I think it's about 2 years too late. Professor Ronan Collins, a consultant in geriatric and stroke medication in Talla University Hospital Dublin, said all public, private and sporting online services should be road tested in advance to make them age friendly or as age friendly as possible. And I agree. He said he was aware of lifelong GEA members who have difficulty getting match tickets online. Professor Collins, who is Age Friendly Ireland's ambassador for South Dublin County Council, made a plea today on World Health Day to make digital tools serve all generations. And how many of those digital tools have been tested on older people or people that are less technically literate, if I could put it to you like that? Very few, I'd imagine. Quite a bit of coverage today of the finances of property mogul and deputy Michael Healy-Ray. A property firm owned by Michael Healy-Ray has received $1.33 million in state payments for housing Ukrainian refugees. Department of Justice figures show Junior Minister Healy-Ray's Rowty Properties Limited, trading as Rosemont House, received €113,480 for accommodating Ukrainians in 2025 alone. The firm received $1.2 million in the 2 years and 3 months prior to January 1st, 2025 for accommodating Ukrainians at its Tralee address. Recent accounts show Rowty Properties Limited recorded post-tax profits of €241,244 in the 12 months to the end of May 2025. So that's a legislator benefiting very significantly from legislation, which I'm not suggesting there's anything untoward about that. You can make up your own minds. But it's interesting, I just think, if you vote on something, and I don't know Healy-Ray's voting record on these matters, but certainly I presume you have an input into it. If you vote or have an input into the rules and regs of a country, but benefit greatly from it, you know, it's perfectly legal, but it's handy. Money goes to money, doesn't it? Fantastic. Delighted for them. The Irish Daily Star this morning: charities across Ireland received €1.5 million last year through the Court Poorer Box. While slightly down from the €1.67 million in 2024, the total is up almost 60% on the €1 million paid out in 2023 figures today show. So how do we look at the Donegal figures as best as I could determine them? The total distributed in Donegal from poorer boxes in 2025, €11,500. Now, this doesn't mean we're tighter or what have you. The poor box is used by different judges or different courts in different ways. It just so happens that this is the way it is in Donegal. So €11,500 distributed from the Donegal poor box. It's pretty much the same as the year previous. 27 different local charities received funds. The Donegal Hospice was the top beneficiary, receiving €1,460. St. Vincent de Paul in Ballyshannon, €1,100. Donegal Town, €1,000. Other smaller amounts were sent to branches in Buncrana and Letterkenny. Community groups, sums ranging €100 to €500 were allocated to local men's sheds, Tidy Towns branches and the Little Blue Heroes Foundation. Letterkenny and Donegal Town, not surprisingly, these two courts offices account for the vast majority of the county's poor box activity. So just to give you some context and how things vary from court to court, €11,500 was contributed from Donegal. The Tralee District Court in Kerry contributed €390,000 in the same period. And as I say, this is down often to specific sentencing preferences for the sitting judges, etc. The poor box, well, what is it? It's most frequently used for first-time Section 4 public order offences. So that could be the likes of being drunk in public, and minor road traffic matters as well, where the judge might feel a conviction would be a disproportionate loss of livelihood. So just €11,500, that's all I could find. But as I say, it just depends on how that system is used and the beneficiaries, top beneficiaries there, Donegal Hospice and St. Vincent de Paul. So as you know, a major movement of people today, both those involved in industry and members of the public, is taking place. The people of Ireland, as it's being flagged, standing together in a massive nationwide rolling protest. Melissa McGettigan of McGettigan Travel has been a regular contributor on the issue of fuel costs for her industry. She joins us now. You're making your way down to Dublin, Melissa. Is that as far as you're going?
No, the plant is Sligo.
Sligo, I beg your pardon.
We're stopping in Sligo. No, the bigger picture is the main organiser. So he gathered round all different organisers from different towns and picked. We all picked. But he just picked. We picked Sligo as his nearest to the northwest. It's not really about. It's more about gathering the numbers, just to show the government that we're all in solidarity. We're all on our knees. We need the extra help. You know, the government threw us tuppence and clapped themselves in the back and said, job well done. It's not good enough.
Yeah, and but there are different needs in different industries, aren't there? Like, say, for instance, for those of you in the bus industry or the transport industry, there was very, very little, really, as you mentioned. For farmers, though, they're getting a greater rebate. There's something else in there for hauliers. So whilst these are all campaigning together, there's some of you that are more worse off than others.
Yeah, well, I have to agree there. Even for the likes of bus operators, like, I'll go back to the VAT exemption again, you know, where we can't reclaim back the VAT. Like, that's the bigger picture, and that would be the, you know, that would be the last of where we want to go. But for now, it's just focusing on the fuel prices and getting the government to actually listen to us. And, you know, they're biting off more than they can chew. And going by the numbers behind me here in the convoy, it just goes to show the level of support from the Donegal area is phenomenal. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, and of course, people will join en route as well. You know, obviously, if you're in Ballyshannon, for example, you're not going to drive to Letterkenny. You'll join in Ballyshannon. So you're saying at the moment there's a strong turnout, a strong crew from Donegal heading towards Sligo?
Absolutely huge. We're just after passing Rathcormac there, and the traffic is blocked up the whole way to Rathcormac. The level of vehicles behind me, I've never seen it. And in all my life, I've never seen as many vehicles on the road following this protest.
Yeah, because sometimes protests are called on various issues, as you know, Melissa, and there can be good turnouts and there can be certain people turn out and there can be political motivations or not. This seems, whilst there is obviously some political involvement, this seems very grassroots. It feels to me like, you know, when the water charges, for an example, or when the government are going to go at older people's pensions, this feels like very organic and very naturally big because so many people feel so passionately about it. The question is will the government get the message?
Well, I'm hoping so. You know, all I have to do is look at the media reports and just see that the numbers are there. We're all standing in solidarity. We're all looking for the same thing. We're on our knees. You know, at this in this day and age, we shouldn't have to be on our knees begging for the leaders of our country to give us a helping hand. I mean, the government's chatting about this Future Ireland Fund, and there's $17 billion in that, you know, basically in that bank for this Future Ireland. But from what I see, and the numbers aren't adding up, what we're looking at is a recession. There's no Future Ireland. You know, they have the power to press pause here and actually give us more of a helping hand. It's not sustainable the way it is.
The thing is, and I mentioned this last week, and this will eventually come out as being the facts, whether it's through an inquiry or just honesty. The truth is though, we have a finite amount of fuel. And that's going to run out, especially if Trump does tonight what he said he's going to do. Really, what we're probably looking at, if the truth be told, is, you know, your business, for an example, being seen as a critical tool in getting people about if they start restricting fuel or what have you. You know, I think the bigger picture here is probably not necessarily what everyone's protesting about today, because if they dropped diesel by 50 or 60 cent a litre, if you had a 5,000-gallon tank, Melissa, you would fill that up just as soon as you can and probably get a second one and fill that up. And I don't think that's what they want.
Yeah, well, I mean, the way they have us now, the figures just aren't there to even do that at the minute. Like, we're being taxed into the red. And, you know, the government are using this. I know the war is going on, and the government are using this as an excuse as well. Like, you know, they're taking 60-65% out of the fuel on taxes. Like, last year they made $4.3 billion on taxes alone from the vehicle fuel. Like, I mean, where's that figure? That figure could nearly help us if they even took it off or even capped it at a certain amount.
Yeah. No, I get you. All right, safe onward journey. What time are you arriving in Sligo, Melissa?
Well, the way it is now, it's chock block here at the minute. There's cars kind of stopped everywhere on the road. We're hoping to We're just playing it by ear and hoping to get in as soon as possible.
Right,
all right. And the Sligo organisers are flat out down there at the minute.
I can imagine, because yeah, they have to manage the traffic. Okay, listen, we might touch base a little later on. Thank you very much, Melissa McGettigan there. I do appreciate your time. Mary T. Sweeney is an AIN2 rep with in Donegal. You are on your way to Sligo as well, Mary T., I take it?
I am indeed. Melissa just said there, we're basically parked up at this stage. Now the traffic's very slow between Rathoath and Grange, and I would encourage, if anybody has a drone, you would really get the extent of this traffic, that the people have come out. There's so many along the roads in lorries and trucks and some tractors, and cars, and just, you know, it's a great feeling to see the people of Donegal coming out of Donegal and saying, you know, we've had enough.
So is the traffic moving still? Is the traffic still moving?
Because no, it's not.
Wow, as back out as far as Grange.
We're actually at a, yeah.
That's remarkable.
We're at a standstill here now. I can see about a mile in front of me, and just it's just chock-a-block. We're actually, it's stalled completely.
Mm.
Every so often it'll start to move a couple of metres and then it's stalled again. It's so backed up. It's so busy. I would say I'm going to guess it's maybe gone right under the Sligo from here. That's why I'd love drone footage if anybody has a drone that's listening in that area.
Yeah, and I don't mean to be smart. I don't mean to be smart, but the government's going to make an absolute fortune today on VAT on petrol and diesel with all of it being burnt.
Do you know what made me so proud was standing at the junction where you come into the Sligo Leitrim boundary. Was to see, and I don't know her. I've met her briefly as a child, but I wouldn't know her. As was when you saw Melissa driving that first bus.
Mm.
It was a sight to be really a young. I heard her saying she was a mother when I spoke to her this morning at Tesco's car park, my first time meeting the girl. And do you know what? Just the whole enthusiasm and just her right to have a business has been threatened here. And other people speaking to me are people like the carers. Some of them get fuel, some travel allowance, but it's not enough to accommodate for what's been happening recently. You know what I mean? The people, the district nurses, the OTs that have to go out into the community, and especially those carers, that is an essential service. And the concern that people have is that if there's any sort of restrictions in fuel accessibility on top of the increase in price, we need to be conscious of this and cognizant of the fact this is putting a lot of mental strain and stress on people that shouldn't be there. The government should be. And only 12 TDs voted against this carbon tax coming in. Fuel is an essential for rural counties that don't have an adequate infrastructure for public transport.
Yeah, I'm looking at the live traffic here from Google Maps. From Drumcliffe North to Sligo, it is just absolutely stationary, which is remarkable stuff altogether. What is your party calling for?
Well, we have been calling for an absolute suspension of the carbon tax immediately.
And what difference would that make? What difference would that make per litre?
Well, at the moment it's 12.5%, but it's due to go up to 18.5% now in the next couple of weeks, which is, you know, you're just chatting under 19%. And that's the start, and we're looking for rebates for the buses. Buses are essential services. They are not a luxury item. And for people to think anything that's an essential service, we have lost our local public transport in Letterkenny. I just highlighted it before Easter. I intended to do a campaign on it now after Easter because I was so committed over Easter with different activities. But the reality is, what has our local council done that because the NTA has said they will give no funding to a local person that has been set up a local transport route in Letterkenny? And they got him to do the surveys, the research for 2 years. He's been and put all that time and effort, and three jobs were lost. One of them up to, I think it was 23 years, he said one man worked for him doing that local link service in Letterkenny. You know, that's not good enough, Greg. We've got to have...
Yeah, the truth is though, as you quite rightly pointed out, at the moment, say, for instance, if diesel is 212, and we'll use diesel, and you get rid of the carbon tax in its entirety, it would still be €1.90, which is still much higher than pre-war. So even getting rid of the carbon tax is not going to bring diesel close to where it was.
65% in taxes the government is siphoning off, I would use the word. You know, so we've got to really realistically look at this now again and say to ourselves, you know, as an essential service, what rebates can we give back here? And it's those rebates are going to make all the difference. So this is all in the hands of the government. They have the power. And for some councillors to turn up this morning and say that, you know, there's nothing we can do at local level. Of course, councillors at local level can do something because they're the people that elected the TDs that went down the road to Dublin. So we need to say to local councillors, stop passing the buck here. Start pulling your phones off the walls, ringing your own locally represented TDs, and I would encourage all the people to phone the people you voted for, irrelevant of who they are across the parties, but especially those in government, and say, come on, this has got to stop. You are not listening to the people. we need, you know, we need our town bus back in Letterkenny. We need to have support for the businesses in Ireland that are trying to make an income to sustain a livelihood, instead of encouraging more people to head off to Australia and Canada and England. It's just not good enough.
Uh-huh. Okay. You're facing a long, long wait to get into Sligo. It'll be interesting to see how things progress. Okay, thank you very much indeed. Donegal Aintu Rep Mary T. Sweeney there. 086 60 25,000, your WhatsApps and your texts to this number. Travelling to Knock Airport this morning, but absolutely, despite leaving early, gridlock, no chance of making a flight. And I'm sorry, you are... there's very few ways around that, because you have to pretty much go through Sligo. I mean, there are ways you could skirt around it, like head out towards Enniskillen direction and try and loop around it, but you would be in serious bother. And I never thought about that, but unfortunately, look, that is going to be part of the crack. Because I do notice even the route, maybe as you come down from Enniskillen, is backed up going into Sligo now as well. So it's not just the... it's the N4, isn't it? So I'm sorry about that. That's a shame. Good morning, Greg. Just seen the protest on fuel leaving Letterkenny this morning. I wonder, can we get clarification? Did Sinn Féin vote in favour for the carbon tax? Just seen a few comments on Facebook that they did. And if so, why are they at the protest this morning? I'd have to double check that. At some point down the line, they did, but I think they did then vote to change. So I'll get their voting history on it at some point. But at the end of the day, this is bigger than the carbon tax. I would love diesel to be under 2 litres, but if you remove the carbon tax in its entirety, it still would be well ahead of where we were at before this Middle Eastern conflict. Greg, I make no bones about the fact that I'm a moon landing denier, simply because I've seen no credible evidence that it happened. I was therefore slightly amused last night when the news reported that the Artemis crew has travelled to the back of the moon and are the first ever humans to do so. So what about Michael Collins, who reportedly circumnavigated the moon while Armstrong and Aldrin walked on the surface? Is the Apollo saga becoming unravelled? No, it's not. Again, that's another thing that's worth clarifying. He also lost contact with Earth for 40 minutes. It's about the distance, etc. But anyway, it is an interesting convo. That slipped in because I wanted to just stick on fuel just before I go to the break. Seriously, what are people complaining about? We only have a tax burden on our pay of €2,440 plus on our wages, €1,323 on our spending. For PSI, 65 on fuel. Stop complaining. Of course we can pay more on our carbon tax. How could the government waste all that on their expenses, the OPW, etc.? Pay up, folks. And that listener obviously has the tongue in the cheek. I blame Micheál Martin and all these that went to Ukraine and gave all that money to them. And at that time we were struggling. But Micheál Martin didn't give a damn what was going on with Ireland that time, when he should have left that money and give it to working people, retired people, and treat everyone the same. Again, sorry to be like a scratched record, but it's really important to understand that Ukraine hasn't taken the money from you. The money that's gone to Ukraine compared to what tax we pay in is pittance. The money spent on housing Ukrainians is pittance. I'm not saying it's not significant, but what I'm saying to you is this. The government has at its will, at its disposal, billions upon billions, not 45 million for Ukraine. Like that, again, is significant money, would change our lives on an individual basis. But there is billions upon billions of euro. But the bottom line is, and no one will take me up on this at this point, they don't want to run out of diesel. They don't want to run out of petrol. And what do you do when you don't want resources to be exhausted until you know what resources are coming back your way? You keep the price high because it changes behavior. And I believe that's exactly what's happening here. This caller says the country is in a mess and we have a Taoiseach who prefers to travel to other countries for photo calls. Oh, to have the leaders we had in the past. Last one before the break, but not before the end of the show. How come it takes a while to get back to normal yet and all the prices went up within 22 hours? It's amazing how long it will take to come back down. Government being blamed, but it's the petrol stations that are making the profits. Look, not at this point. We heard last week from a petrol pump owner, should I put it to you like that, they make 3.5 cents per litre. Some make up to 6 or 7 cents per litre. But I think it's the wholesalers that you need to focus on. The problem is though, we're running out of fuel. Jet fuel is at a premium now. In certain parts of Europe, Ryanair are cancelling 10% of flights. Not full flights, but 10% of flights because of access to jet fuel. In other parts of the world, fuel is being rationed. The problem we're going to have, and it's going to make this look relatively insignificant, is access to fuel if things accelerate, if things get worse. Because the Iranians will not just sit there and allow their electricity network and their bridges to be blown up and not retaliate. And what do they retaliate? America's on the other end of the world. They retaliate on things that the Western world is reliant on, petrol, diesel, aviation fuel, etc., etc. 0860 25000. I want your views, even if you want to come and have a chat about it, please. The lines are open for you. WhatsApp 0860 25000. Welcome back to the programme. I'm joined on it now by Tanya. Tanya, thank you so much for chatting to me. I hope things are okay with you.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks very much.
Now, you've been speaking out, which is an incredibly brave thing to do, because I think when someone like you speaks out, Tanya, you give a voice to dozens and dozens of others who feel they can't. And you're backing calls for statutory miscarriage leave.
I am, yeah.
And this is off the back of your experience, and you've had a tough run of things, to say the very least, Tanya. Can you give us the details of that, of which you're comfortable with, but also how it impacted on you and, you know, going back to work, etc.?
Yeah, so, this is obviously experiences that are personal to me, but, you know, this is something that women deal with on a day-to-day basis, and there's an expectation there of you just get on with it, because miscarriage is so normalised. Mm. But even though it's normalised, doesn't mean it's not an extremely difficult time that anybody has to go through. So in my case, so I've had three miscarriages, two of which were in 2016, and I took a day off work in both cases to go back. Now, I have to say, there wasn't a huge amount of pressure on work from work side of it to go back. You know, they weren't kind of telling me, we're expecting you back, but there wasn't exactly an open conversation there of take as much time as you need either. And at the end of the day, you know, we still had bills and mortgage and stuff to pay. So I never really felt like taking additional time off was an option for me at the same time. Mm-hmm. So in both cases, I took the day off work and I went back. And, you know, you're under even the emotional side of it, you know, the physical side. You know, it's a pretty horrendous experience you're going through. Mm-hmm. And unless you've been through that, you don't really understand. Like, the miscarriage itself may not even be fully complete. And you're back to work and, you know, you're in a lot of pain, for starters. And it's such a vulnerable and personal time that, you know, colleagues or other people may not even be aware that you're going through this. And you're still expected to get on with your day-to-day work.
Yeah, and I mean, as you quite rightly pointed out, and as many people would know, Tanya, it dependent on the circumstances. I mean, you could miscarry on a Wednesday or a Thursday, and then have to go for a procedure a number of days later, and have to go
exactly.
to work
yeah.
whilst in the interim. And of course, with that, there could mm-hmm. be heavy bleeding etc. So, you know, to carry all of that and to be expected to go to work, it's kind of very disrespectful of what someone has just gone through or is going through.
Yeah, massively. You know, and again, at the end of the day, like, you know, I know this is something that women have been dealing with for forever, and it's something that's not going to go away anytime soon. But how we deal with that situation and how we handle that, you know, it's some level of control that we can have over. And if we can offer a woman any kind of support within that time frame, even if it is only a few days off, something, just even just sit down and just not have to speak to anybody, not have to put on this front, put on this face and act like everything's okay when it's not.
Yeah.
You know, just that time just to kind of try and come to terms with everything that's going on physically and emotionally.
Now, I know for employers, there's a lot going on with wage increases and better entitlements. And I don't think this should be caught up in that, because you said something really important there, that women have done this for years, but that's not right. And I think it's because we never really had a proper conversation about it. I'm not sure there's a massive resistance to this. It's just it's never been It's obvious. I think
it's never
obvious.
Been done. It's just been expected that women just get on
exactly.
with it.
Exactly. Just get on with it, love. Exactly. That's kind of the attitude you would hear. And it's not open for abuse, you know, and it's not going to be hugely frequent necessarily. Do you know what I mean? It's just respectful to what a woman or women might be going through.
Yeah, and like people are going to be working for years and years and years of their lifetime. Like this might be something, like obviously in my case, I kind of could have done with it three times, but hopefully most people won't ever experience a miscarriage, and if they do, it might only be one. Like this is a service that hopefully a woman will tap into once, when it's most needed, to give them that support.
Yeah, and it seems like a no-brainer, and I can't help but think, and I don't mean this, lads, don't have a go at me, but the reason this has been going on for years, I think if this was guys, it would have been legislated for a long, long time ago.
Oh my goodness, 100%, and it's not even a road I'm going to go down.
No,
because,
but
you know, healthcare in women is so far behind from what men would be, and as you said rightly, if this was something a man had to go through, this is a conversation that would never be happening to begin with.
I think so. I really do, yeah, honestly think so. Yeah. And to the wider way we deal with miscarriage, and it's a conversation that comes up on the show quite regularly. It's subjective and it's different for different people. But often too, a lot of people will keep a miscarriage secret, and that's up to them, but maybe they feel they have to because they don't want to be judged or what have you. But also too, as a society, mm-hmm. how we talk about it. Do you know what I mean? Like people will say, oh, well, sure, you can try again. Well, you say that to someone who's feeling grief and loss and bereavement. It's a horrible thing to say, but it's not meant with malintent.
Yeah, no. That's it. It's not meant with, you know, people are trying to be cruel, but at the end of the day, when you get that pregnancy test, you're not initially thinking that you're going to lose this pregnancy. You're thinking long term, you know, 9 months I'm going to be holding this beautiful baby. You're thinking, you know, you're picturing their nursery, you're picturing telling family, friends, and then for someone to turn around and say, well, at least you know you can get pregnant, at least you know it can happen again, it's kind of irrelevant, because you wanted that baby, you wanted that pregnancy. And that's what you're grieving, that's what you've lost. Even though, like, I have three beautiful kids now, and I wouldn't change them for the world.
No.
But that's never going to stop me grieving the three that I did lose.
No, and with the best will in the world, it's a maternal connection, it's a physical connection that you've lost. It's not a cancelled delivery. It's part of you that was there, and you sense it on a way that unless you're the mum, you're not going to understand, I would suspect.
Yeah, and it molds who you become. So it does. Like I lost two babies before I went on to have my son. And it was like, you were kind of a mum without being a mum,
yeah,
if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Because I'd had two babies, I'd lost them. And again, like, if it wasn't for me losing those two babies, I would never have my son. But it still can't take away from the fact that I've still lost those two.
Yeah, but they're always there with you, and I presume
they
are
still
people
who I am.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, all right.
And of course.
Yeah, okay. And that's.
And like, although I never spoke about my miscarriages maybe massively openly at the time, it's something once I felt comfortable with, I've always been quite vocal about, because I do think there has to be a conversation there around it. There has to be more awareness to it for people to realise, yes, okay, it is common, but it's still difficult.
Yeah, and to sort of mandate it in terms of weeks, or, you know, like, oh, yeah, well, we can do it after 8 weeks or after 12 or after six. You know, that's all very, it's all very harsh conversation, I think, because we're not talking, we're not talking about something that's going to grind the Irish workforce to a halt. It's just about care and understanding what someone's going through.
Yeah, and even from an employer point of view, like, my thinking would be, if I was an employer, is give my employee the time that they need,
yeah,
to maybe go through whatever it is that they need to go through, so when they do come back, you know, I'm getting the best of them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than them potentially coming back too early, maybe having to go out then an illness benefit due to things not going the way they wanted, or maybe still grieving, give them the time when they need it.
Okay.
You know, not that I'm going to say after a few days you're going to get over it, you're not. It is going to be an ongoing process. But having that support in those early days would make such a huge impact into how you grieve.
Yeah, and I think it would hold a positive light up to society too, to understand that we don't continue doing what we're doing just because women kept quiet and put up with it for generations. We're hopefully in a different space now. Tanya, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy morning. It's very important. Thank you.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Look after yourself. Bye bye. If you want to comment on that, 08660 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, 08660 25000. The call effectively is for paid miscarriage leave. How that might be determined or set up remains to be seen. Obviously, lots of you protesting, commenting on the protests, sorry, and the fuel. Greg, I work as a community carer with the HSE, and the current situation is costing me an additional €50 a week just to get around to my clients. We're getting no support from anyone. It's not sustainable. How could that be? You know, it's not an industry where you're making an absolute fortune to the point where you can absorb an increase of €50 per week in fuel costs. A caller says it's highly likely we'll have fuel rationing here before the end of the month. This protest is an awful waste of a valuable commodity. I don't think so. I think it's very important that, and even if it means chipping into those supplies, I think it's important that we as a people have the freedom, and it's not a freedom everybody has, to go out there and make our feelings known. I am of the view, I'm not sure if it's going to come in as soon as you suggest, but I think rationing really is what they don't want to say, because then people hoard, and we are hoarders. You know exactly what we would do, so I don't disagree with you. In relation to the fuel allowance by the government on diesel and petrol, I would like to point the extra revenue the government has taken in on petrol and diesel and home heating oil fuel sales the last week or so. Hey, they've been making a fortune, millions, tens of millions, in fact, in the month since the fuel went up, because obviously VAT is applied to the total, including the taxes. On my drive to work this morning, one petrol station had reduced its prices by around 20 cent, but seven had not. Can anyone explain that? Well, they obviously got diesel or petrol in at a cheaper price. You know, there are some petrol stations close to you that will have the fuel sitting in their tanks for ages. You will know the high traffic volume. A lot of the petrol stations that are just petrol stations and often are self-service, they turn over a lot of fuel. And you will see their fuel prices go up and down much quicker than you might a petrol station or a garage that has the petrol or diesel sitting in the tanks under the forecourt for the last few days or so. Thank you so much for all your calls and comments coming in. This listener says, what planet is that woman on? Everything is about women's health and issues. Well, I would disagree. And I'm not all woke or blah, blah, blah. I have my eyes open. And, you know, we've only had proper conversations about things like endometriosis and menopause in the last couple of years, really, you know, and this is just another part of that. Things have been skewed against women for so long. It might feel like that's all we talk about, but these are our mums as well, and our partners or our daughters or our aunts. And I think we should all be supporting them personally in just trying to get what seems to me like basic rights at a very difficult time. And if you have a partner, if you're a fella, or you certainly know if you're a woman, that this is a very difficult, very stressful time. And it can be very difficult to just turn up to work the next day and be expected to perform at your optimum. And as I say, you know, I just give a couple of examples of proper conversations about women's health that have only started relatively recently. In fact, in the history of conversations, they've really only effectively happened just right about now. So I respect your view, but I do not agree with it. What about the money Pascal Donoghue gave the World Bank? Yes, a bonus that they didn't even look for. What about the money the government got off Apple? Could this not be used to lower diesel? I think we've used that Apple money, though, a million times over, but I take your point. It is counted in last year's taxes. Refuel crisis. The problem could easily be solved if our government would only cease their virtue signalling and subservience towards Zelensky and Ursula von der Leyen and buy affordable Russian oil and gas. Circumstances have changed. We need to do something radical and put Ireland first for once. Another, we are foster carers with two children in care. We travel 1 hour, 40 minutes, 23 times a week, so these children can see their parents. The extra amount we've been paying for fuel has been crazy. Wow. I can't believe there hasn't been some sort of an uplift in some of these situations that we're hearing and talking about today. Morning, Greg. I'm confused. How is this protest going to make the government change their mind? People sitting in tailbacks miles long, wasting fuels in their tanks, sitting going nowhere and making others miss their flights, hospital appointments, being late for work. I'm genuinely perplexed. What difference will it make? I don't want to be discouraging. I think an awful lot of people, but maybe it will. Maybe it will make a difference. But I don't think so, because I think there's a bigger thing going on, a bigger plan going on, and this can't really influence that. That would just be my feeling. When you get all airlines like Ryanair cancelling flights, you know something's up. Garda Grania will join us shortly with Community Garda information. But first, I want to go to Inishowen Councillor Jack Murray, who's put up a post on social media about the removal, the theft, is it, of the tricolour from Inch Island. Jack, what's the history behind the erection of this flag, by the way? Good morning to you.
Good morning. Everybody in Inch Island will know at the same spot over Easter weekend, a tricolour is flown by a local family, and they have done so for the last 57 years continuously over different generations to remember the 1916 rising and those who died for Irish freedom. Unfortunately, at about 12:30 on Sunday afternoon, somebody took it upon themselves to remove this tricolour, and it hasn't been seen since. Now, there's an added sentimental value to this particular flag, as it was draped over the coffin of a loved one many years ago. So the family are obviously extremely keen to have this flag brought back.
So this is not a generic flag, you know, it could be a different one each year as part of the ceremony, as part of the tradition. This is actually a very important flag to this family then.
Yeah, it holds huge sentimental value, this flag in particular. So they contacted me and asked me to put a post on social media appealing for anybody who might have it, who might know where it is, to return it. It can be done without consequence. All they care about right now is just getting that flag back. So if you do have it, if you do know where it is, look, you can come to me directly and I can return the flag anonymously if necessary.
And how can you be so specific as to when it went missing? Is it on camera, or is it just it was noticed that it was gone, or
it was known in a very short period of time that it could only have been removed at that time? So it was around 12:30, roughly 12:30 in the afternoon on Sunday. So it was done in broad daylight, obviously. So somebody might know where it is, somebody might have seen it being removed and be aware of who it is. But as I say, look, it can be returned without consequence, and the family are just very, very keen because of the huge sentimental value that this particular flag has. They're just very keen to get it back.
Yes. Any suggestions on as to how it might be gotten back? Maybe the person responsible doesn't want to return to the scene or wants to try and do it with some level of anonymity?
I'm happy if they just come to me directly. I'm happy to return the flag to the family. It'll be done completely anonymously. So I'm happy to even contact your show or anyway to get it back.
Okay, well, listen, we'll leave it there, short and sweet, though the issue certainly isn't. Thanks very much indeed, Jack. So if you know about that flag or its location and you can return it with no consequences, if you want to get in touch with us, maybe you've found it somewhere or maybe you know where it is. It seems to be of significance value to those that own it, of course, sentimental value to them. Let me get to some more of your comments here. In regards to the fuel rally, what are carers supposed to do? They are on minimum wage and have to wait a month till they reclaim their fuel allowance back. The rate they get for petrol or diesel isn't even the current rate they have to pay for diesel. I'm also disgusted at how Sinn Féin voted in favour of introducing the current level of tax. Hiya, just a quick question. I'm en route to Galway for an hour appointment for my five-year-old. We're driving up and down on the same day. My question is, we're probably going to meet the protest now in Sligo. What do we do? Can we drive around it so we can make our appointment in time? By the way, I 100% agree with this protest and would have been in it or at it only for this appointment. But it's really important appointment as my child has cystic fibrosis and needs to see specialists today in Galway. Well, I was looking at some of the live traffic and any of you listeners out there can suggest alternative routes. I'm not sure if you've left. Sligo could be hard to get around. You can get around it, but then you have to sort of factor in if using an alternative route, you won't get caught up in any way, because I presume it's not just the approach on a southerly direction. There are issues on other approaches. I'm not the best for giving traffic advice, but someone out there might know a professional driver maybe that can give some information. It's quite an interesting take because they would be at that protest, but they now find themselves stuck because they can't get around that protest. Another caller says, buses are an essential service to the people of Donegal. What would we do without them? Not only that, how many people would be out of work without them? How many people do they employ? Yeah, indeed. I think there's a broad acceptance amongst society of the importance of buses, be it getting to and from a place, obviously, you know, like a town or village or school, you know. A lot of these bus companies are also involved in school runs, and they can't claim the VAT back on fuel, which is an archaic situation. I don't understand why, but they can't. They need a more long-term solution. They're being affected by this, but it's an ongoing situation for those in that industry. Morning, Greg. All the fuel that comes into the depot in Derry is by boat from Statoil in Norway, not the Middle East. Diesel off this boat costs about 70p sterling, and the wholesaler is making about 10% margin based on the Platts price. The difference in this 70p plus 10% plus an average 7% for the retailer is all tax imposed by the Irish public representatives we voted for. More than half the retail price is tax. People can't afford this air-to-water heating in their homes anymore and don't have a fireplace. Some are pensioners and need heat. I don't know, what is the situation with air to water? Is it, I think I've been told in the past that it's very good if you've a very well insulated house, but can be quite problematic if you don't. But, you know, it's the only show in town sometimes if you don't have solid fuel. Greg, you spoke this morning about the idea of retrofitting as a pensioner. I priced it and the prices are outrageous. Regardless of grants, it's costing about 40 grand. I ended up going without the grants because it was much cheaper. People are being fooled into thinking grants are a great thing. They're not. Interesting point, because you were able maybe to shop around a little bit more and save money by not getting the grants. I've heard of this before. And yeah, I think these schemes, especially granted schemes, especially where it's going to take a long time to recoup the money, or maybe you're of an age where you feel you never will, well, then you have to adjust those schemes, don't you, to make them more attractive. Right, a couple of requests before we take a break for the news. Evelyn McCrossan, happy birthday, Evelyn. All the best for the future from your best friend, Amanda Sweeney. Please play a request to wish Sophia Brogan from Carrigans a happy 6th birthday from Mummy, Daddy, Rhys and Josh. Happy birthday, Sophia. Hope you're enjoying your Easter break. I was told this morning we are in Easter week. So there you go. Don't know what you want to do with that info. Now it is Tuesday the 7th of April, 20 past 10, time for this week's Community Garda information, and my guest is Garda Grainne Doherty from Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, thank you so much for calling up.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Right, let's start with appeals, and very sadly we learned yesterday that a lady passed away following a road traffic collision in Letterkenny, and that's the basis of this appeal.
Yes, so Gardaí, you're appealing for witnesses following a fatal road traffic collision. This occurred in Letterkenny on Friday the 3rd of April. Shortly after 3 p.m, Gardaí and emergency services were alerted to a collision that involved a pedestrian and a lorry at the station roundabout on the Port Road in Letterkenny. The pedestrian, a female in her 40s, was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital for treatment of serious injuries. And sadly, yes, she passed away on Sunday, the 5th of April. Gardaí continue to appeal to anybody who witnessed this incident to come forward. Road users who might have camera footage, including dash cam footage, who were travelling in that area between 2:15 p.m. and 3:15 p.m. on Friday the 3rd of April, they're asked to make this available to investigating Gardaí. Anybody with information are asked to contact Letterkenny Garda Station on 9167100, the Garda Confidential line on 1800 666 111, or any Garda station.
And the station roundabout, because when I was conversing with people over the weekend, a lot of people might know it as the Tesco roundabout. It's that one, isn't it?
It is, just
other
at the bus
people were
station
thinking it was down near the hotel of the same name. So yeah, it's just that everybody knows, and the majority will, that is just at the bus station there where you'll see the buses stopped. Right. Now, also investigations ongoing into a road traffic collision in Inishowen.
Yes, this was a single vehicle road traffic collision happened in the area of Aileach Beg, Burnfoot, on Saturday the 4th of April, shortly before 5:30 p.m. So a red Volkswagen van was crashed and abandoned on the road there, partially blocking the road. Three young males reportedly left the van on foot. So we're appealing to any witnesses to this collision to contact Gardaí. If anybody travelled in that area between 5 p.m. and 6 p.m. with a dash cam, we're asking them to please contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932 0540, and that's quite a busy time of the evening, 5:30 in the evening, so hopefully somebody might have witnessed that or have dash cam footage from that area.
Yeah, I'd imagine so. Significant loss to a business in Brookless.
Yes, this is a burglary. It happened at a business premises in the area of Ballywogs, Brooklis, at approximately 2:35 a.m. on Tuesday the 31st of March. So two quads were stolen from this business premises, namely a red Honda 500, it was 2018 here, and a 2026 red Honda 520 automatic, and this one had bear claw tyres all around. The Honda 500 was recovered later following a search of the local area in the townland of Carkerbeg, Brooklis. This is approximately 2 miles up the road. So it had been concealed in the hedges and the bushes along the roadside. So the Honda 520, this brand new quad that was stolen, has not yet been recovered. We're appealing to anybody who might have travelled in the area of Ballywogs or Carkerbeg between 2 a.m. and 4 a.m. on the 31st of March with a dash cam to contact Gardaí. If anybody observed any type of suspicious activity or vehicles with trailers perhaps in the area between those times, please get in touch with us. And if anybody's offered a similar type of quad for sale, this is a red 2026 Honda 520. Again, it has bear claw tyres all around. If anybody's offered that for sale on a second-hand basis, please alert Gardaí so we can check the matter out. Any relevant information should be passed to Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530 or again the Garda Confidential line 1800 666 111.
Yeah, and people can sort of try and work that out themselves. I presume it sounds like they were going to return for the second quad at some point, so maybe you saw other activity that fits in and around Grania's appeal there. Right, an attempted burglary this time in Letterkenny.
Yes, this occurred in the area of Dromore, Letterkenny. So this happened in the early hours of Thursday the 2nd of April, shortly after 4:10 a.m. Two males in black clothing attempted to break into a house in that area. They left the area immediately upon being disturbed. Nothing was stolen from the property, but a small amount of damage was caused to the garage door and to the rear door of the house. We're appealing to any road users with a dash cam who might have travelled in that area between 3:30 a.m. and 4:30 a.m. that morning to contact us. And we're particularly interested in any sightings or dash cam footage of a black Seat Ibiza with a partial registration number of FHZ. This is believed to have been in the area at the time. If anybody observed any type of suspicious activity, people or vehicles in that area that morning, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91671100.
Yeah, so black Seat Ibiza, partial registration FHZ. Now, an attempted theft this time in... it's a theft incident this time in Inver, isn't it? Yeah,
a theft incident. This happened in the area of Taoimh Dooley, Inver, on Friday the 3rd of April between midday and 8 p.m. So a Scott tile bucket for a digger was stolen from a forest in that area between those times. So we're appealing to anybody who might have observed any suspicious activity in that area on the 3rd of April to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And again, if anybody comes across a similar type of digger bucket for sale on a second-hand basis, just alert us so we can check that out also, please.
Right. Now, be aware, the email scammers, they never sleep. And the most recent that we're talking about right now is purporting to be from Gardaí.
Yes, and this has cropped up quite a few times, actually, this email, you know, and it creates a sense of panic within you. They use words such as... You know, you've been accused of all sorts of offences such as pornography, possession of pornography, distribution of pornography. This is no different. This is a fake email. It's currently in circulation and it purports to be from the Garda Commissioner and the GNPSB, the Garda National Protective Services Bureau. So it's a phishing email. It's sent by criminals. It's most certainly not sent by Gardaí. So please don't panic. If you receive an email like this, don't respond to it. Just ignore it. Delete it. That's our advice.
Yeah, they're going shock and awe, aren't they? You'll panic into responding to it.
Yeah, and that's what, you know, that's what they try to create, a sense of urgency and panic and hope that somebody will respond. You know, so if you haven't fallen victim to this, there's no need to alert Gardaí that you've received this email. Of course, it goes without saying, if you have responded in any way to this type of email, please alert Gardaí.
These used to be letters in the past, and, you know, I remember hearing about, and it's often not exclusively people of an older generation, the pure panic, you know. So not everyone listens to shows like this or will check out the Garda Síochána Facebook page. So spread it around to people that you might know that these types of emails are going about. Right, now, a busy weekend on the roads, a busy weekend for... I was going to say the roads policing unit, but it's all Gardaí really knuckled down in terms of road safety, if the truth be told.
Yeah, well, all Gardaí were out in force now over the course of the Easter bank holiday weekend. And a Garda roads policing operation took place nationally throughout the bank holiday weekend between 7 a.m. on Thursday the 2nd of April and 7 a.m. this morning, Tuesday the 7th. So throughout this weekend's road policing operation, Gardaí were out. They were conducting statutory mandatory intoxicant testing and regular high visibility policing checkpoints. So in Donegal, 11 drivers were arrested during that time period on suspicion of alcohol or drug-related driving offences. 7 of these were alcohol and 4 drugs. So we wish just to remind drivers, it's never safe or acceptable to get behind the wheel of any type of vehicle while you're under the influence of alcohol or drugs. A number of drivers were detected for speeding offences in Donegal over the course of the weekend. Some of the notable speeds were 106 kilometres in a 60 kilometre zone in Letterkenny and 132 kilometres in a 100 kilometre zone in Letterkenny. So we're reminding motorists, please always drive within the speed limit. Always wear your seatbelt. Never use a mobile phone when driving. Keep all distractions out of your car and ensure that your full attention is on the road at all times. A number of vehicles were also seized over the course of the weekend in Donegal for various reasons. No insurance, no maybe NCT test or tax. And vehicles, this is something I wanted to highlight today because quite a large number of vehicles were seized over the weekend from unaccompanied learner drivers under the Clancy Amendment. So we just want to remind learner drivers, you know, it's against the law for you to drive unaccompanied on a learner permit. You have to be accompanied at all times by somebody who has held a full valid driving licence in the same category for a minimum of 2 years. So if you're an unaccompanied learner driver, you're liable to have your vehicle impounded, which happened over the weekend to many drivers, and you also face a fine of €160 and 2 penalty points. This is something worth noting also. If you're an unaccompanied learner driver but not the vehicle owner, the vehicle is still impounded and the owner then faces prosecution and a fine of up to €1,000.
I mean, so in other words, if you allow your vehicle to be used, you will end up liable, which is quite interesting. And it's just, it goes to show too that there's a lot of tools available to Gardaí, not just static checkpoints and what have you, to detect compliance with the likes of insurance. And there still seems to be a bit of a culture of driving unaccompanied on
That number stood out to me just when I was looking through the weekend activities and incidents over the weekend. There was quite a few vehicle seized from unaccompanied learner drivers, and it's just important too, as you said, for the owner of these vehicles. Maybe you're a mammy, you're a daddy, your son or daughter has their learner permit, they ask to borrow it to go to the shop, whatever, you know. If you allow them to take that car out unaccompanied, you also may face prosecution. It's just something to be very aware of.
And of course, whilst you're focusing on a specific campaign, that's not the end of it. You know, the Gardaí are constantly keeping the roads, or trying to keep the roads safe, no doubt about that.
Yeah, there was a wide variety of other road traffic offences detected over the weekend, but that number stood out to me, and I think just wanted to reiterate today. And some learner drivers just may not be aware of it either, you know, for them to be just aware
but
of.
But I think too, it's fair to say that number that you talk of indicates that, you know, the days of chancing it, you are probably going to get stopped. In terms of leniency, you're probably going to get your car taken off you. There's a new law there. It's just, times have changed.
Times have changed,
It really is. It was very different in my day, let me put it to you like that.
And just, you know, just on that note as well, just something else to be aware of. If you're a learner, if you're driving on a learner permit, that's only applicable. You can only use that permit in the jurisdiction. Like, say, if you're from Donegal, you can only use that in the south of Ireland. Mm. Same as if you're from Northern Ireland and you're driving on a Northern learner permit, you can only use that permit within Northern Ireland as well. It's just something for learner drivers, especially when we're living this close to the border.
Yeah, for sure. Know? Yeah, exactly. Right, now, Donegal Social Inclusion Week.
Yes, it's coming up very shortly, actually. One Donegal Social Inclusion Week. So this is coordinated by the County Council. It aims to highlight the very positive work being done not only by the council but by other statutory and community organisations in attempting to raise awareness of social inclusion related issues within Donegal. So this year's Social Inclusion Week will take place from the 9th of April to the 17th of April. So as part of Social Inclusion Week, and Garda Síochána will host a coffee morning at Cara House on the Pierce Road here in Letterkenny on Monday the 13th of April between 11 a.m. and 12:30 p.m. and everybody's very welcome to come along to that event. On Wednesday the 15th of April between 11 a.m. and 1 p.m, Gardaí will host the Lifford Wellness Cafe in the Garda station in Lifford. And again, everybody's most welcome to come along just to find out, to meet the guards, but also to find out more about wellness cafes in their own area, you know, to get details of those. So there's a wide range of events planned to mark this week across the county. The event programme is already up, I know, on the Donegal County Council website and on their social media channels. And we'll be posting that programme of events to our Facebook page as well in the next few days.
Garda Grainne Doherty, thank you very much indeed.
Grainne? Oh, well, if you want to be posh.
No, yes, but it annoys you because I see sometimes you correct people. So which is it, Grainne?
Well, I think with there's a fada on the ass. You say grania.
Grania.
But grania.
I get it.
I've been
right
called
every
worse.
Time.
I've been called a variety of things. So I won't take offence either way.
You'll only be out of this room 2 minutes and you'll be called worse. I'm only joking. You're the best. Okay, Garda Grania, thank you so very much indeed. And that was Community Garda information. We'll replay it on our socials and on Garda Síochána Donegal's Facebook page a little later on. It's also on the podcast, of course. And back live for you after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. So we were speaking last week about a new film, Three Urns, that gets its cinematic release later this month. There was something of a premiere towards the end of last week. I know our own Shannon Wilkins and Lee Gooch were at it, amongst others. And it is based in Donegal. It spotlights Donegal. And let's have a little bit of a listen to the trailer to get a sense of what's going on. And Shannon's going to join us to talk about it.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Do you have the book I ordered?
Ah, yes. Here.
How much do I owe you?
430 euros.
Mon amour, let us go then, you and I, and visit the places that meant so much to us. Where we first met, where we first kissed, and where we said we loved each other.
I'm travelling by car, but I parked it up and somebody stole the wheels.
Oh, for God's sake, they've stolen the bloody car.
There's someone looking for you.
A woman.
This is your first time in Ireland.
All right, okay. And it's a very visual trailer as well. And Donegal is, as you can imagine, looking blooming lovely. So, Shannon, good morning to you.
Good morning, Greg.
Right, okay. So you went along. It was a premiere or an early screening, or how would you describe it?
It's Donegal premiere. They had a Dublin premiere the week before, so we weren't the very first
people. We didn't have the budget for that, I'm afraid.
Yeah. Letterkenny's better anyway.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And so talk to me about the film. What's it about?
I was actually just thinking about it on the way in here. I was like, what am I going to say without giving too much away?
Yeah,
but
be careful.
Full of eccentric characters is what I would say. Poor Kieran Hines, who we actually only know as Mr. O'Connor. I don't know, does he have a first name? He has quite a bit of bad luck. So you saw there, anyone who is watching at home, he parks his car up at the Causeway Coast. First, they steal the wheels. He goes to get help. He comes back. The whole car's gone. Then his brother-in-law offers him a milk truck. And this is grand. The wee milk truck, he takes it from the Causeway Coast down to Donegal. Don't know how he did it, to be honest. It's like such a wee footery thing. And throughout his journey then, he ends up getting a wee parking ticket because it's not roadworthy when he's at the births, marriages and deaths office. And a fun fact about that was in there they had that completely as Gaelic, but he went in and tried to do his affairs as Berla, so he managed to get that done.
Yes.
Then a really strange scene with the guy who's like in charge of the parking tickets. He needs a shoulder rub in order for information to be released from him. So he'll speak, but he's not fully opening his mouth. And he's like, oh, you know what would help me? A wee shoulder rub. So Kieran Hines, Mr. O'Connor, has to go over, start rubbing his shoulders. And as he rubs his shoulders, he starts telling him how to get the vehicle back on the road. He then has to go get a few horses to tow the vehicle. He also lifts people along the way in the milk truck. And it has, there, you can see it there. He lifted that wee Choctaw Indian. Another one, me and Lee were talking about this on Friday. There's a character of a priest. And we don't know that much about the priest, but something bad obviously happened and he left his last parish. But then there's a clothes washing scene. There he is. There's a red bra. He's washing a red bra. So I don't know, does that have something to do with it?
Maybe it has something. I don't know.
And then Kieran Hines picks him up off the side of the road. He was sleeping on the side of the road with his clothes and the red bra was hanging in the trees. Mm. Maybe I'm focusing too much on the red bra, but I think it means something.
Maybe it does. And there's a lot of good actors in it. And it's well shot. You know, sometimes sometimes these independent films you can kind of tell and then others you can't. And this is one of those you can't. Do you know what I mean? It looks good.
It does. Like, it's actually mad whenever you see everywhere so beautiful. Fun fact, there's a graveyard off Doe Castle and they have a full brass band just playing there one day.
I thought you were going to say full bra. Everybody move past the bra.
And then there's
they have a full brass band playing
In the graveyard.
When? In real life?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
In the film, and again.
Oh, right,
I don't know
film.
What that was about.
Mm, okay.
But
so there's some little, maybe they're Easter eggs, as they call them, whereby you might get it or you might not get it.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So you enjoyed it. What are you giving it? Have you finished describing it? Because it's kind of difficult for you. Let's start with a few of the positives. Great acting, I take it.
Kieran Hines, even Lee was saying, he doesn't have to say anything. Like, he does
very
it with
expressive,
his face.
Isn't he?
Yeah.
Donegal looks absolutely gorgeous. It really does. And I'm not just saying that. We were speaking to the director last week, and they had 2 weeks of beautiful weather in April of last year, and that's reflected in the cinematography. If that was an advertisement or a picture postcard, I mean, we know we're beautiful, but it's lovely to see other people sort of get and see that too.
You get to see as well how kind of relaxed everyone living in Donegal is. You know, the way we have quite a lot of artsy characters that end up in Donegal because they're connected to nature. So you can see that. And then there's a few pub scenes with traditional music.
Yes.
Which was very good.
So Remelton Rafold, Donfanahy, Bunkrana, all over the place, really.
Greencastle.
I remember when people were watching Saints and Sinners, that last film, last big film, and people were going, oh, that's not how you get to Ardra. It's not that type of film, is it?
I was getting confused as well. I was like, what woman? He's in Letterkenny, then he's in Glenveagh.
Right, okay.
And then one of the directors just appeared behind me and he was like, no, that's not what the film is like. Yeah. You just end up going from scene to scene.
Exactly. It's not a travelogue of Donegal.
Another bad luck that Kieran Hines has, he ends up getting his wee bag that has his wife's ashes stolen.
Uh-huh.
And then man in the pub says, I think you'll find it up at Beltany Circle in Rafoe. And he goes up there and there's a group of women just singing these lovely enchanting songs. And he gets a wee tear to his eye. I think he's in his feels. And then he gets the bag back, goes back to some sort of lovely house with these women.
Yes.
And they let him sleep. He's been sleeping in a tent, mind you, and he's also been sleeping in the back of the milk truck. So man needed a rest. And they look after him. They feed him. They're like, I'll run you a bath. And then he heads on his way. So again, just that nice kind of thing of people always help each other out here in Ireland.
Yes, okay.
A lot of his journey's healing for him, I think.
So this is the type of film, I think it depends on who you are as to how much you enjoy it, right? Did you enjoy it?
I did enjoy it. My life isn't changed because of it. Like, I'm not going to go,
what would you
gosh.
Give it out of 10 then?
6 or 7.
6, 7. Your mum was with you. She
gave it a 10.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Lee says he loved it as well too. So, and 6 or 7 out of 10 for me is a very high rating.
It's still good.
I watched
yeah.
so many fives, you know what I mean? Or so many fours, so 6 or 7.
Like, I don't regret watching it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm happy I went to see that. Yeah.
And also too, I don't think you can watch it the same way as someone in Canada might watch it because of your local knowledge and your... Are you following the storyline or you're trying to recognise the background?
It's funny as well. I was thinking about the characters that I'd met along the way and I was like, you know what? I actually don't know the names of most of the characters. I know Mr. O'Connor and I know Liam. Another funny part in the movie is, it's so Irish, isn't it? He was like, my wife's maiden name and married name, O'Connor. But we were a different set of O'Connors, don't worry.
Important to clarify,
yeah.
isn't it? Right, okay. So when can people go and watch it and where?
It will be released in cinemas by Breakout Pictures on the 17th of April.
And I know, which sounds like you don't know because you avoided the question, it's in Lifford, Bundoran and Letterkenny.
Yes.
Okay, so 3 fantastic cinemas and it's going to be in all 3 of them from April 17th. And get along. Because it's a good film. Like, it's independent, but it's well budgeted and it's well shot and Donegal looks lovely and your mum loved it.
Yep, she's going to take my granddad.
So, there you go. Yeah. Okay, that's a ringing endorsement, isn't it? All right, anything else that I didn't ask?
I also thought this was kind of funny. There's a French character that follows Mr. O'Connor to Ireland and we think there's really sinister reasons behind it. We're like, oh my God, who is this lady? But the poor lady, she ends up right behind him throughout the entire movie and she brings this terrible electric car. Guess what the range is on the electric car?
48 kilometres.
45.
I wasn't far off.
Imagine, just to keep charging it, trying to go around Donegal with that and then he's going in a horse-drawn milk cart.
Right.
You know, like, you couldn't write it.
Someone did, and then they shot it. All right, Shannon, listen, thanks so very much indeed. That is the 3 urns, which has cross-generational support. And it was filmed in Donegal, of course, over 4 weeks last year. They got great weather for it. You'll see locations in the likes of Remalton, Rafal, Donfanaghy, Buncrana. There's 40 different sites actually featured across the film, including landmarks. Glenveagh Castle, as we mentioned, Beltney Stones. Doe and Glenveagh Castle, how do they look? Are they just on the grounds or in the castles?
Just on the grounds, but absolutely beautiful. Like, the weather definitely helped. It is.
Yeah, I can't wait for the good weather again to get out and enjoy ourselves right in our own back door. Where else would you go? For as long as I've been involved in radio, the issue of fire stations in Ballyshannon and Bundoran have been on the agenda. Councillor Micheál Nocton, probably most of your adult life too, this has been a very important issue for the people of South Donegal.
Good morning, Greg, and good morning to your listeners. Yes, Greg, you're 100% correct to that. I mean, I think it's been going on for over 40 years in relation to the fire station in Bundoran and Ballyshannon. But I mean, the announcement today by Minister James Brown is basically a good news story. That means that we finally got the funding that will replace the Bundoran and Ballyshannon with a state-of-the-art fire station that will be built in Finnair that will serve both towns and that. So this is a good news story. That mean it's been going on for years, and that mean, and you know, the people in Bundoran and Ballyshannon deserve this, and mean, and it'll be a huge addition to South Donegal and the area of, you know, Sligo and Tullahan and even in as far as for Manor, because it covers all that area. So we're delighted with this announcement today.
And maybe the ongoing campaign that was around for years to retain two slowed the process of establishing one down. At what point, Micheál, because I may have lost track of the story over the years, at what point did we settle on, you know, one new brand spanking new fire service or fire station, sorry, serving that larger catchment area?
You're 100% correct, Greg, in that mean, and that was something that the department had told us on a number of occasions when we met with them, that funding would be made available for one station that would serve both areas and that. But last year, that mean, we met with Bundoran Fire Station, and we met with Ballyshannon, and you know, we spoke to the members there and the staff on the ground, and both stations had been in disrepair for a number of years, and they were getting, you know, unsafe for the staff and that. So we met with the staff on the underground, and we got an agreement from Bundoran and Ballyshannon that they would go with the option of a one station to serve both. And this station would be state of the art. It would be probably the most modern that we would have in the county going forward. So when we got basically the members to agree in it, it was a starting point. And we knew from our meetings with the department over the years, because we had met, and you know, even but long before my time in politics, that this issue was ongoing, and there was numerous of debates. But we had basically, with Donegal County Council, led to believe that if we went for the one fire station, that funding would be forthcoming. And now that is becoming a reality today, because the 3.6 million that has been announced this morning will give us a state-of-the-art fire station in Finnair that will represent Bundoran and Ballyshannon.
Yeah, and I suppose since those debates from 20, 25, 30 years ago that I remember, things have changed an awful lot in terms and conditions, or response times, or how you know, how stations are rostered, or you know, all that type of stuff. There's been a lot of change over the years. So hopefully, and the bottom line is Micheál, hopefully this best serves the needs of the people and the firefighters in that area, because that's what this is all about, isn't it? It's about getting to where you need to be just as quickly as you can, and we hope this is the way forward.
Yes, Greg, and you're 100% right. I mean, the regulations and all that, and that was a bit of a fear in relation to Bundoran and Ballyshannon, that staff maybe, if the fire station went to Finnair, maybe people in Ballyshannon couldn't basically apply for a job, or the same in Bundoran. But the extended the remit and the area that people can apply, and also the time and that. So that basically was a good starting point as well in relation to the staff, because you're 100% right. The big thing here is safety of life, making sure that we state of the art, that people living in Bundoran and Ballyshannon feel that they're safe in their homes, and whenever the services are required, that we have staff there on the ground, and we have the station there on the ground, and we have facilities, and also there'll be new fire stations fire fighting equipment coming as well. So this will make it the state of the art. So it will be brilliant for South Donegal and for the people of Bundoran and Ballyshannon, and I welcome this because it's something that has been going on for years and years. So finally we've got a date, and now we're going to have a reality of a new fire station in this area.
Yeah, a good news story, I think. Thank you very much, Councillor Micheál Nocton there, 086 60 25,000, if you have anything to say in relation to that. I will add, by the way, it's just I wasn't given the information, it's not that I forgot it, but the Three Urns is actually going to be shown in Buncrana as well, which is good. So that means the people of Inishowen can get along and have a look at that as well too. So I'm pleased to be able to confirm that for you. Let's get to some of your comments. It's all we really have time for this morning, which is great because it means we're able to get to them. I've heard the news all week about the fuel increases, how they're affecting farmers, lorries, fishermen and buses. What about us taxi drivers? We're affected too. Well, I did mention you, of course, in our conversation on Friday, I believe it was, that any industry really where the margins are tight, and this is one of your biggest inputs, which is with taxi driving as well, it's going to cost an absolute arm and a leg. We just hope there's a breakthrough today. There's little sign of it, and we really need Taco Trump. We need Trump to chicken out again, really, if the truth be told, because I really... if he goes ahead with his war crimes, in other words, attacking bridges and civilian infrastructure, I believe the Iranians will unleash hell on the countries around them as well. And the biggest global impact they can have, and they are very, very aware of it looking at their social medias, is to mess up the infrastructure. What they're doing, their defense of their country, they're causing fuel shortages in China, that fuel shortages in India, fuel shortages and cost increases in America. Even though America has its own oil, the price of petrol is through the roof in America. Potential shortages here. You know, that's how they are fighting it. So, and they can do it with a 20,000 euro drone. So whatever the United States does, and it would be a war crime, by the way, flattening their communications, flattening their power, flattening their bridges, which will take it multiple generations to recoup from. They can launch these drones from anywhere and destroy plants, destroy infrastructure, destroy a lot of the big global companies. A lot of your cloud services for your internet are based over there. Amazon network, a lot of their communication from there. You know, the Iranians have it within their power to do whatever they want in response. So we are facing what I believe is a critical 12, 24 hours. What I suspect will happen, and we'll know when I'm sitting back in the seat at 9 o'clock. What I I think he'll find a way to extend the deadline one more time, is what I think he'll do. I think he'll go 14 days, 7 days, something along those lines, or else we wake up and all hell's broken loose. I don't know. We shall see. Protests are targeting normal citizens. Why are the protesters not target the government as they cause the issue? When you start taking stuff to the street, when you start campaigning like that there, you are going to disrupt the public. That is, unfortunately, part of protest. And there's no way you could really do it to hit the government without it hitting the people. And that's just an element of public protest. Another, protesters are targeting normal citizens. Why don't they target the government? Let me see. I've just left a petrol station that hasn't reduced its prices yet. This must be an old comment because prices have gone up significantly. A barrel of oil is around about $110. And again, by this time tomorrow, it'll either be $98 or it could be a $150. We just don't know. The power lies with somebody else. All right, that's where we leave it on the show today. Thank you so much for all of you who listened to the programme, for those of you who watched it, whether you texted in or didn't. It's really appreciated. Thank you so much for your support.